I am just trolling.
From Yahoo Sports is the FC Yahoo Soccer Podcast.
Hey, get out of here, huh?
That's what you're trolling.
Sean is right.
The FC Yahoo Podcast.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the FC Yahoo Podcast. I'm your host, Shahan Ahmed, here in Playa Vista with Joseph Colino.
We didn't get transferred for each other just now, did we? Because I mean, the news is kind of breaking fast. I don't know.
I would be okay with that transfer. Yeah, let's do the swap right now. Am I getting Alexis Sanchez wages? Because I'm all down for that. I imagine Mkhitaryan's getting paid very well too.
Oh,
but
sure.
That is why we are here. We are here to talk about the big swap that just went down, announced earlier today. So that should tell you when we're recording this. Alexis Sanchez is now a Manchester United player, a piano playing Manchester United player, I should add.
If the video is to be believed. He's a talented guy. I wouldn't put it past him.
I think his dogs could even play the piano. and then Henrik Mkhitaryan going over to Arsenal. Now, this is a straight swap, which we don't really see that often. Generally, there's still some money involved, even when we do see player swaps. This one appears to be just a straight, you take our guy, we'll take your guy. And yeah, first of all, Joey, let's start with you, with Arsenal. What do you make of it for Arsenal?
I think that this is, God, after so many years of sending the best players away, the Cesc Fabregas's, the Robin Van Persie's, they realized that this was going to happen again with Alexis Sanchez because, to be fair, they bungled it. This is Arsenal's fault that he wants out. It's their lack of ambition. It's their lack of, I don't want to say appeasing him because I don't think he was necessarily out of line for wanting to win and play every match and play as hard as he did. Now, I'm not saying that the manager shouldn't push back a little bit and say, hey, listen, we need to pace you here. You can't play every match.
We need to pace you.
Or to replace you.
Why would you not speak like the manager?
That's a good question. The point is, he was going to leave. And Arsenal said, well, we kind of want something in return. And for the first time in these clubs they were dealing with, it just so happened that there was a player who a lot of people rate, a lot of people think is really good, who really couldn't get much time for Manchester United based on the other players that they had. And to be fair, is not as good as Alexis Sanchez. I don't want to say that. But with Henrik Mkhitaryan, a lot of people have been saying, well, he's basically Mesut Ozil. And I would say, yes, their games are very similar, but I think I would never accuse him of having the lazy work rate Mesut Ozil does from time to time. That's right. I said it. I think Mkhitaryan is – I think he works harder. I think that, and that means a lot. So I think that just because they were able to get him and because United was so desperate to get a deal done for reasons that we can talk about when we dive deeper into Alexis Sanchez, I think it worked out. And I'm actually a bit stunned that it did work out this well for Arsenal considering they bungled it up again with a star signing.
Well, Manchester United get Alexis Sanchez.
True.
Alexis I just like to say Alexis because everybody Alexis. Says it over there in the UK that way. Alexis is a wonderful, wonderful player.
He's great.
I've been watching him since back in his Serie A days, as you may expect. back when he was partnering up with Toto Di Natale at Udinese. But yeah, he's come from Barcelona, been spectacular at Arsenal. Frankly, he's been their best player. Pretty much through and through the entire time he's been there.
I was there at the Emirates the night he scored his first goal for the club. True story.
So 122 games for Arsenal, 25 assists, 60 goals, 298 chances created, 365 take-ons completed. Now, that's pretty darn good. He's one of the best players. Now, is he worth how much Manchester United are paying for him?
That's the question.
Now, you say, wait, they didn't pay a dime for him. It was a straight swap. Well, what's getting reported, and this is going off of Bleacher Report Football from the UK, it's a reported contract based on multiple sources, and Alexis Sanchez is now earning £500,000 per week. That would make him the richest wages in all of England.
The most expensive Premier League player ever, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, by far, yeah. So to give you an idea of where everybody else ranks, remember, 500 grand, half a million per week in pounds, but let's just pretend it's dollars to keep it simple for you. And then Paul Pogba, £290,000. So almost half of what Alexis Sanchez is making. Romelu Lukaku actually making half of what he's making. So £250,000 a week. And remember, these are the top three, all Manchester United players. Who's number four? Oh, yeah, Zlatan Ibrahimovic, £220,000 a week as well. He was awesome.
Oh, but they don't spend over there, according to Mourinho. They need to spend more money, sure.
No, and number eight, also David De Gea. So five of the top 10 wages in the Premier League belong to Manchester United. Just honorable mention so everybody knows. Sergio Aguero is also making $220,000, so he's making as much as Zlatan. Eden Hazard making the same as those two. Cesc Fabregas also making the same as Eden Hazard. Zlatan and Aguero. Virgil van Dijk, actually, new addition to the list, number nine at $180,000 a week.
If only he showed up today.
And, oh, look, there's an Arsenal player on here. What? Alexander Lacazette.
Lacazette.
With $170,000 per week. These are pounds, obviously, so it's more in dollars. Just try not to think about that, because likely if you're listening to this, you are not earning anywhere near that amount.
Just think of the numbers, that's all.
Yeah. So, I mean, and the other side of this, obviously, is we just mentioned number 10 on that list was Alexander Lacazette. They're trying to get Aubameyang from Dortmund. And so
the latest, hottest rumor is that the board flew to Germany to try to iron out a deal, and the Borussia Dortmund wants a deal done by tomorrow, Tuesday, this would be. But they're kind of, it's also contingent, ironically enough, on another swap where Olivier Giroud would go to Dortmund as part of the deal. But I don't know if that's true, but that's the latest gossip. But it does seem like the momentum is kind of moving in that direction, and Aubameyang will be the next big name to watch in the transfer market.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure exactly how all these pieces fit.
Search me.
I know we're going back and forth between United and Arsenal, but here, let's just focus on Arsenal for a moment and try and make sense of this whole thing going on. I actually think that it's a great signing for them because, frankly, if they'd gotten, let's say, 20 million or 15 million or let's say even 30 million, well, that probably doesn't buy Henrik Mkhitaryan with that amount of money. So they actually got a pretty darn good deal out of this. And they have a player that, frankly, if Mesut Ozil doesn't extend his contract, even though it seems like he may, if he doesn't extend his contract and decides to walk in the summer, oh, they have a natural replacement for him.
Yes, and it gives them leverage to say goodbye like that.
Exactly. It actually makes it puts the pressure on Ozil. They gave themselves a bit of an out. Now, there's a lot of money being spent in the sense that they're probably upping his wages and bringing in guys like Lacazette and possibly Aubameyang for a manager who's not supposed to be around very long. So a new manager potentially could come in and be like, none of these players are my players. I need to go get in my own people. And then you're looking at Arsenal, you know, breaking the bank, which, frankly, Arsenal hasn't really done, so who really cares? But in terms of how this is going to work for the rest of the season, and I always thought that was one of the things where I was sitting there going, yeah, if I'm Arsenal, do I really want to sell Alexis Sanchez? I know he's going to leave at the end of the year and he's going to walk over to one of the Manchester clubs. At the time, I thought City. But when I'm sitting there thinking about it, I'm saying, man, this player alone is probably the difference between me possibly getting the top four or not. And the $15 million, $20 million I could get for him in January is probably not worth nearly as much as me getting a top four finish.
Mm-hmm.
So I was always kind of like, I don't really want to sell this guy. It's not really financially going to make much of a difference. I'm Arsenal. What is 15, 20 million to me, really? And I know Arsene is a penny pincher, known for being a penny pincher, but it still does not matter much to that club to like get that type of money. Now, Mkhitaryan, I think they got a good player that they can use for the future, but they need to finish top four.
Yeah.
Like that's. So I understand why they're going after Aubameyang, but we just saw Arsenal have a wonderful outing, and Lacazette looked really good. He had a wonderful goal. So when I think about it, is I'm thinking that they're going to kind of go Christmas tree, you know, three in the back, four in the mid, two guys kind of supporting behind Lacazette. So now you have two number 10s, essentially.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, you'd like some wingers possibly, but they just got rid of Walcott and Oxlade-Chamberlain.
Yeah.
So, like, at this point, you're sitting there going, how does this work?
And I still think that there's, like, glaring deficiencies. They're not good enough defensively, especially when Koscielny is out. They're not nearly good enough in the midfield. You know me. I'm a Jack Wilshere stan. Loved him for almost a decade now. He's just questioned the durability. And you also question if he's really that true, true top-class Premier League midfielder. He's up there on his best day, but I don't know if it's that consistent. And if Aubameyang comes in, it just becomes like It's almost like a kid playing FIFA where they throw together a bunch of big names, but they don't really have a clear way to like fit with each other contextually. Now, it'll be fascinating to watch, and there are a number of scenarios you could envision, but I think that this just seems like Arsenal might be appeasing a little bit the fans by chasing these big names. They're not actually thinking about how they're going to fit, how long Wenger's going to be there. Because one of the things that the players have kind of said to a person, Lacazette recently, Ozil was very clear about it, they signed for Wenger as much as the club. Yeah. And if Wenger's not there, how does that change things?
But you really think Wenger's not going to be there?
No, he's going to be there forever. Let's be real.
As long as he wants to be.
He's also going to outlive him. Like, he's so healthy. He's going to live to be like 105, and he's probably going to retire at like 102.
I'm guessing that, you know, even when he quote-unquote steps down, he's still going to be making the club's transfer decisions. He may step away from coaching or be forced to step away from coaching, but I don't think he's leaving the club. So a lot of these players will still have him as a resource. And I would imagine that that's how that's going to go down, and it's going to be whenever he really, really wants to.
I know.
Because he just has too much power. But, you know, it's funny you were talking about playing FIFA. One of my favorite things to do on there when I do play and I need goals is to just go to a 4-2-4 and just put everybody as four. Like,
hey, the back three is kind of like in fuego now. What if Wenger has the next positional revolution?
I'm telling you, man, 4-2-4 always works. Just put all your guys above. Like Giroud, Lacazette, Aubameyang. Like, you don't even need Ozil out there. He's not worth it. He's not fast enough for the wings.
Circles goods.
And anyway, getting back to the point, and can I, let's go to the other side of this whole thing, which is...
This might be more interesting for me.
Manchester United. Now, this is a little bit interesting because you have to wonder how exactly he fits in. You know, I mentioned Zlatan Ibrahimovic. He's had a little trouble staying healthy. Romelu Lukaku's been in and out of form, but generally, you know, they paid $100 million for this striker. He is their striker. He's their number nine. They gave him the, you know... They gave him the shirt. Then you look at Martial, who's been in form, Lingard, who's been in form, Mata, who's been very essential to what they've been doing, and you're trying to figure out who's going to lose their spot.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all of those guys, of all of those guys, I would probably argue Mata, but if it's going to be on the wings or somebody a little bit more wide to create a little bit more, I would think, honestly, Martial or Lingard probably losing some time. And then if you look at it from that standpoint, then you're like, well, where is Marcus Rashford? And is he ever getting back in the team?
Yeah.
Because he is now going to be on the fringes. He's had a little bit of a rough patch, which is expected. He's still a teenager, last I checked. So it's not shocking, but in terms of how they fit in, there's obviously, you know, we spoke on a previous podcast about some of the flexibility that Jose is going to have, in the sense that if he's away at the Etihad, he can have Alexis Sanchez play more of a false number nine, you could possibly call it, and have him tracking back a lot more than Lukaku and play a little more of a defensive shell that he's known for doing. just, you know, negative football with a forward that really does work hard for you, which is what Sanchez definitely does.
Yes.
What do you think, Joey? How does this all work out?
Well, that's the thing. I think that his positional interchangeability was kind of the big thing here because, you know, Lukaku was a big signing, and he's kind of like this big, not fast, but hulking kind of hold-up play striker in certain ways who's better better technique and ability-wise that people give him credit for. But I just think, and I'm not saying he's the exact same player, but I think, you know, let's say Arsenal has success pairing Alexis Sanchez with Olivier Giroud up top, and I think a lot of it is because Sanchez can be paired successfully with anybody. He can be the solo number nine. He could be a winger. And because he offers you that kind of versatility, that's something that was attractive for Jose Mourinho, because he looked at it and he said, well, on a given match, I can alternate my tactics with him in there a lot of the time. And, you know, he's not going to want for desire. And I think that, you know, the fact that he didn't fall out of the Arsenal squad because of ability, just because of attitude and the forthcoming transfer. So maybe he's a little fresher than people think. Maybe he can actually play as many games as he wants to for United, or at least come closer than he could have when he was outright carrying Arsenal. And that's the other thing. You can rely on him to that extent, I also think, because on any given day, you know, last year when we were previewing the Champions League final, I think we talked about the amount of match winners, quote-unquote, that Real Madrid had all across the field. And United's got some of that in and of itself. I mean, Pogba can be on his day. Martial had a great goal this past weekend. And
he's been in form, man.
Yeah, and he's been fantastic. And, you know, Lukaku's form has dipped quite a bit since the start of the season, but he was really good for a stretch of the early season
He's come back now. He's scoring goals again. That's really all you ask from him, right?
Yeah, and you just – I mean, Alexi hasn't really played with people like that since Barcelona, and Barcelona was so good back then, and it's kind of like, well, we don't really need, you know, you. I think United needs them a little more, and so I think that however they decide to go is going to depend on match to match, because Mourinho kind of has now this availability of this player to fix whatever flaw could be within a given formation or a given attack, depending on where they're going, whether they're at home against the side that, you know, will try to bunker down, or whether they're going on the road against a side that might be a little more open against them, and just kind of pick his spot to see, like, where can I fit Sanchez, where can I fit the other players, and you know, manipulate the best possible result.
Yeah, so I think one point that you mentioned, and you mentioned the Champions League final, and I think the most important aspect of this is the fact that Alexis Sanchez is not cup-tied.
Right.
And that in of itself, and not just forget not cup-tied, he's probably one of the first names on the team sheet for every Champions League match from here on out for Jose Mourinho. If healthy, Alexis Sanchez is in your starting 11 for the Champions League, which is the only competition that has really any value for Manchester United. Obviously, you want to finish top four. Right now, they're still in a good spot to do that. Probably not getting anywhere near Manchester City.
Yeah, that's the thing. So,
like, the Premier League doesn't really matter. It was all about Europe, and that's where this deal makes the most sense.
Mm-hmm.
That is why you put him on these types of wages. And yes, people will say, well, he's 29. Yeah. Is this really make sense? Jose Mourinho doesn't care about the long term of any club he's at, and never has in the past. And United has the money, so they can put him on the wages. Like, doesn't matter.
Sort of the interesting point, too, of him coming there and being someone who, if you look at the signings from last summer, and Henry Bushnell wrote about this, today, it's like the big signings this summer were Lukaku and Pogba, who are 24 and 23, if I'm not mistaken. And so there's a little bit of time there. But, you know, like you said, Mourinho has always been kind of like a three-year guy, if that. And so Sanchez coming in, if nothing else, kind of like brings you back up to that timetable, because he's 29 and he's still great, but he ain't going to be that great for that much longer. So the point is to get the most out of him now, to be successful with him now, to win competitions like the Champions League now. Because if I can draw a broader point real quick, United has never really been great at this. When Sir Alex was there and he was shifting the paradigm of success and what that means and winning all those Premier League titles, won the Champions League a couple times, you know, really put a footprint in for England and might be the greatest manager in the history of the game. It was more, especially when the game became more about spending and these mega contracts in the first decade of the 20th century, it was the shrewd buys. You know, buying Wayne Rooney from Everton when he was 18, buying Ronaldo when he was 18, buying
Rio
from Leeds for not a big fee, and then he becomes one of the best defenders in the world. And ever since Sir Alex retired, and I'm not saying United has never had success with a big transfer before, they have, but they're still kind of new to this, whereas Mourinho is sort of like done this before and done it very well. So,
well, he's done it by spending a lot of money, which is what he's doing. Money.
Yeah, and you know, he's won for that too in a lot of different places. So
everywhere,
he's won everywhere, exactly. So he's got to win at Manchester United, and this is what he's comfortable with. If not what they're still overly comfortable with. So the fact that this Sanchez signing makes sense from that standpoint too, I think, is kind of important.
Okay, well, this was meant to be a shorter podcast because we just kind of wanted to touch on both Henrik Mkhitaryan joining Arsenal, the news of the day, as well as Alexis Sanchez joining Manchester United, and apparently being a heck of a piano player.
Yeah, that's what I want to see. But, you know, there's this rumor that's flying around real quick that Mkhitaryan confirmed Aubameyang coming to Arsenal by recording a different clip or something for his official intro. And, you know, that's great. But I want to see the behind-the-scenes stuff for Alexis Sanchez to see if he was actually tickling the twine, I think they call it. Is that right? Playing the piano?
I don't know if they call it. I thought that was a banjo. Oh, whatever.
It might be.
Well, I think it might be tickling the ivory.
Tickling the ivory. That sounds right, yeah.
But, you were talking about it trickling out. Well, it kind of did trickle out because we got pictures of Alexis Sanchez taking selfies at Old Trafford the day before it was announced. It's like, will he be a Manchester United player tomorrow?
Either he's the greatest troll in history or he's going to be a United player.
He could be a pretty good troll, too. In any case, thank you to Joey Galino, as always. And I'm your host, Shahan Ahmed. Thanks for listening.